Is the Proverbs 31 woman primarily a prescription of how to become a better wife, mother, woman, or friend? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Christians in America have, well, for the last several decades, been seriously concerned about the rise of, call it irreligion or secularism. It's not taken the form so much of as a virulent kind of secularism, but an apathy. I used to, probably 20 years ago, coined the term apathyism for what has risen. You can call it what you want, but the survey takers call it the nuns, people who, when asked what they believe or what their religious affiliation is, go straight to the bottom of the list and tick the box that says none of the above. That's America. What about Europe? It's pretty shocking, actually, what we're seeing coming out of Europe. Numbers that are very low when it comes to young people's affiliation and participation in any kind of religion. Joining us to talk about a new survey on Europe's young adults and religion, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
First of all, have you seen much media coverage of this survey on Europe's young adults and religion?
Well, that's an interesting question. The obvious answer is no, because American media don't care that much about what's happening elsewhere in the world. But at the same time, I have to admit, I was surprised we haven't seen much coverage of this particular survey for two reasons, one of which is that the immigration stories and the there's a lot of reasons to care about what's happening in Europe right now, even if we don't normally pay attention to global trends. Americans have lots of reasons to look at the debates in Europe about the future of that continent, immigration controversies, controversies about radicalized Islam. There's a lot of things going on there that America is worried about as well. But the second reason is more practical and connected to news here in the United States. Ever since the release, 4 or 5 years ago, of the Pew Research Center study on religiously unaffiliated Americans, the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, there have been just, waves of coverage of this concept here in the United States. What we're in effect seeing is that in Europe, the same thing is going on, but Europe is ahead of America at this point, which we're back to the whole, you know, that old thing. What's the cliche? When Europe gets a fever, America catches a cold, or is it the other way around? Anyway, the whole idea is what happens in Europe later comes to America, which means that if the press is interested in the religiously unaffiliated and militant secular story of the nuns in America, then why aren't they interested in this truly shocking set of statistics out of Europe, you know, on the same story?
How would you summarize it? What are the shocking numbers that we are seeing?
Well, before we get to the numbers, let's get just to the bottom line here. This study, which comes out of the Benedict XVI, I guess that comes out Benedict XVI. XVI came out for some reason before the numeral did for me. Maybe it's because I type Benedict XVI so often. Anyway, Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, had a lot to say about the future of Europe, and there now is a think tank in his honor in England that is studying a host of these things, and they did a study in conjunction with a university in France to dig into the basics of the huge study that comes out. The America, we have the census, And then Europe, the big thing is the European Social Survey. And they dug into the religion numbers here and came up with some amazing stuff. But like I said, the lead on this, according to the people who did the survey, the lead on this is that purely cultural forms of religion do not pass down from the generations. In other words, if you have parents with a nominal faith, the children overwhelmingly will have no faith at all. If you have, I'll put it here in my own world, if you have Russians or Greeks with a purely cultural identification with Orthodoxy, the odds are infinitely lessened that their children would take Orthodoxy seriously. So thus, in parts of Europe with different cultural churches involved, whether that would be Anglicanism in England, whether that would be Catholicism in France, or what would it be in the Netherlands and Germany?
Probably Lutheranism?
That Luther guy. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to see if you were hanging in there with me on
yes.
this. The whole idea is this whole idea that you're Lutheran because you're German, or that you're Catholic because you're French, or that you're Anglican because you're in England, that was so early 20th century. That's not how things are going right now. So the lead on this is that cultural nominal faith doesn't last. There's a saying popular among the Orthodox that I often have found painful but poignant. God has no grandchildren. And what they mean by that is every generation has to have its own relationship with God. You can't inherit it. And that's the big message from this survey in Europe, where things are even ahead of the United States. So would you consider that relevant if you were the leader of, say, what I have begun to call, instead of mainline, because they're no longer the American mainline, if you were a leader in an old line Protestant church in America, would you consider this relevant? And the answer, of course, is yes. Here's a couple of the numbers. I mean, I've got all kinds marked up here. In 18 of the countries covered in this survey, fewer than 10% of 16 to 29-year-olds attend religious services at least weekly. And in 12 of them, over half of young people between 16 and 29 say they have no religion at all. Half of them. And less than 10% attend religious services weekly. You can break that down. You and I believe we talked last year. In fact, we talked when I was in the Czech Republic. We hooked up by telephone, and I talked to you from Prague. The Czech Republic continues to kind of set the standard here. 91% of young adults in the Czech Republic say they have zero ties to any form of religion. And 70% say they never attend any kind of worship at all other than special occasions, which means they're willing to go to a funeral or a wedding. And 80%, and when you think of how much, you know, in America, what was it, 25% of atheists pray? You know, that weird number that came out of that Pew study, if I'm sure I have that wrong, but it was a jarring number. There were atheists who pray regularly. 80% of young people in the Czech Republic say they never pray at all. Now, you flip that over, an interesting thing. Among the Catholics, the young Catholics who remain in the Czech Republic, 25% of them say they go to Mass every week or more. Now, you say, gosh, that doesn't sound all that good. Believe it or not, that's better than almost anywhere else, except for Poland. Now, the really interesting outlier of all of this in this study is Poland, a nation that's 82% Catholic. And in Poland, among young Catholics, 42% say they go to Mass every week, and 50% of them say they pray at least once a week, and that's pray outside of worship services. And only 17% of Polish young people say they have zero ties. I could go on and on quoting statistics here. In the UK, for example, 70% of young adults say they have no traditional faith. The United Kingdom, 70%. And 64% of those in historically Catholic France say they have no connections at all. Here in America, it's considered extremely big news that the nuns are up to something like 20-25%. UK, 70. Anyway, I could go on and on with this, but it's certainly shocking. And in the column that I wrote about that this week, I opened with the fact that decades ago, the German Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger began talking about this. And in 2001, he was extremely blunt, in which he said, we're going to have to face the fact that we will no longer be what he called the mass church. We will no longer be, and he meant Catholicism, will no longer be a major force in Europe. Now think about that. The Catholic Church will no longer be a major force in the culture of Europe. But what Ratzinger said is, by going small, we may have a chance to have a more intense core of religious believers who stand out as a creative minority within that larger culture. And of course, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger is the man who was then elected Pope and became Benedict XVI. Now, in terms of American debates, this idea that the church will no longer be the moral majority, that we're entering an age when actively practiced Christian faith will be a small minority in America that will have to be more creative and defend itself. Does that sound like any arguments we've been having in America recently about a certain book?
Mm-hmm.
We can now do our ad for Rod and the Benedict option. Anyway, this is just more news on the same front. But I have to admit, when I saw some of these numbers, especially the numbers for the United Kingdom, it was truly stunning.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about a new survey on Europe's young adults and religion. When we come back, are people in America who formerly simply identified as Christian being more honest about their nominal Christianity? And is that accounting for the numbers? We'll talk about that next.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at MELHS.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, Principal at 618-656-0043.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan. EpiphanyDoor.org, 616-681-0791.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Easter hymn, Christians to the Paschal Victim, sung by the Contrarii of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Listen anytime, anywhere, absolutely free on the LPR mobile app and at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Easter season. We're talking about a new survey on Europe's young adults and religion. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, Adam Ford, the creator of, among other things, the Babylon Bee satirical website, had just, I think yesterday, day before yesterday, put out one of his comics that very cleverly, I won't do it justice, but it very cleverly illustrated that it may well be the fact that Christianity in the United States is not so much shrinking as that the nominal Christians, those who had identified as Christians for merely social or political reasons, have become more honest about what they really believe, more honest about their nominal Christianity.
We've had this conversation before in that I constantly refer to the demographics scholar John Green of the University of Akron, who eight years ago or so met with some students at the Washington Journalism Center back when I was in Washington, and he drew up on the board basically what would become known as the religious unaffiliated study. He drew that up on the board like 8 or 9 years ago. And what I thought was fascinating, he said, there's no evidence in America yet that the percentage of people who are actively practicing their faith is decreasing. That's a pretty hard 18 to 22%. You and I have had this conversation before. What's vanishing is the mushy middle. The Oprah America section in the middle is now swinging over into active unbelief, or in many cases, aggressive unbelief in specific aspects of the Christian faith or Jewish faith or whatever. And he noted that what binds the new secular and religiously unaffiliated in America, what binds them together is an active rejection of sexual ethics as defined by the major world religions. So that's an ongoing story that we can certainly see all around us. Now, I have a question here. I want to throw something at you out of the blue here. I just put up a post a couple of hours ago at Get Religion. What do you see as the connection between the topic you and I are discussing, which is this European study, and the news that Toys R Us is going to shut down?
Okay. I'm going to go to another demographic answer here, which is we are not replacing ourselves. The market for those toys is rapidly disappearing because there are fewer little ones among us.
Yeah. And the little ones we do have are being actively recruited away from what we used to call play with what we used to call toys, and are being actively recruited into the culture of glowing screens earlier and earlier. In other words, five-year-olds are no longer going to Toys R Us. They're headed to the Apple store to upgrade the iPad they already have. And at age 7 or 8, they're pestering their parents for the smartphone that they already absolutely have to have to catch up with everybody else. And now we're right back where we were last summer at the Issues Etc. conference, with me challenging the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church to become the first national body to dedicate a week every year to the issue of families and technology. In the piece I wrote about this Toys R Us thing, which obviously didn't have a religion theme in it, until you stopped and think, how many major religion stories in America right now, when push comes to shove, it comes down to whether a religious group is making converts, having babies, and then retaining those babies in faith. You can now see how that relates to the European study. Totally. Well, I mean, what churches in Europe right now are making converts? Well, the ones that are surviving are, and we're beginning to see vital pockets of Christianity in smaller groups where people really are aggressive about their faith, sharing their faith and defending their faith. Then you get into the demographic thing with birth rates. And then you get into the fact that the big takeaway from this European study is that nominal and cultural faith doesn't pass on to the next generation. And you're there with Toys R Us. There aren't enough children. There aren't enough children coming back to play games and do things in the next generation because their parents basically have stopped being active in any, you know, kind of imagination. Everybody's just sitting there with their glowing screens. And nobody's in effectively being converted to play. Maybe I made too much of an image there with the toy store. But you can see the basic point here. There isn't any life right now in the toy market. And how many of our religious organizations truly contain new life, whether that is in making converts of the unconverted or raising up families of children with multiple children and children that remain in the faith? It's really an issue that crosses over everything from Judaism to Catholicism. Remember, we've talked about this before, the priest shortage crisis in the Catholic Church is actually a crisis of demographics. The same thing with closing Catholic schools. The mainline Protestant crisis, where everybody's getting older and older and older. No converts, very few children, very poor efforts to retain those children. And in some ways, this is the story of our age.
Another exception, you mentioned Poland in the survey, is also Ireland, which is a different story there, although they have the common thread of Roman Catholicism. Why do you think Ireland remains an exception in the European picture?
Well, it remains an exception, but it's going pretty fast. The big news right now in Ireland is whether Ireland will continue to defend its tradition of strict laws on abortion. I think right now the issue is whether Ireland is Ireland or whether Ireland is going to gradually go the rest of the way of the island of the mighty, so to speak. At what point does Ireland, whether they're part of the UK or not, at what point do they become of that larger, rapidly secularizing culture? That's the question in Ireland. Poland, meanwhile, Poland is being viewed in the American media as a destructively negative, retroactive, nationalistic land that's acting like Russia or something. And maybe that means that there still is a kind of inbred Polish nationalism that is linked to Catholicism, but not just in a cultural way. Among at least, say, 40 to half of the nation, it's linked to the active practice of the Catholic faith. Interestingly enough, for some reason, this study included Israel in Europe, perhaps for cultural reasons as much as geography. Israel is another interesting case where obviously you have massive identification with some form of Judaism, and the actual practice of Judaism is infinitely larger in Israel than it would be in, say, the American Northeast or some other part of America that's where there's a fairly large Jewish population. And then you look at the Jewish birth rate in America, which is linked, of course, to the soaring levels of Jewish intermarriage. Then you look at those same trends in Israel, and you see different situations. Once again, do you believe your faith? Are you convincing anyone else to believe your faith, let alone your own children? And how many children do you have anyway? These seem to be the dominant religious questions of our age.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about a new survey on Europe's young adults and religion. When we come back, another angle might be that Christianity as a whole is moving south. Stay tuned.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy. Hector's cherry tear got hit by a stone and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about a new survey on Europe's young adults and religion. Terry Manning of Get Religion is our guest. Terry referred earlier to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's the premier conference for Christian laity. This year's speakers include Jonathan Fisk, Hans Feeney, Hank Hanegraaff, Angus Manoogian, Scott Klusendorf, Will Wheaton, and Craig Parton. Attendance is limited to 400. Child care is free thanks to the sponsorship of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Registration is $120. That includes three meals. Learn more and register by calling 618-223-8385 or at issuesetc.org. The 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois, 15 miles east of downtown St. Louis. Terry, another angle I can think of here, at least from kind of the American perspective, is, and this is something I think we are seeing even from our limited perspective via the press's disinterest in global matters, and that is that the globe is flipping when it comes to the epicenter of Christianity. Christianity is going south.
Well, the global south is exactly, this is exactly what we're talking about. You look at Methodism in the United States, you look at birth rates, you look at the convert rates, they hardly exist at all. Then, especially in some of the colder parts of the nation, shall we say, colder spiritually, then you look at the Methodist Church in Africa. I saw just a report about 2 days ago that we're only a few years away from half of the United Methodist Church being in Africa. And you can run up very similar numbers in Anglicanism and in Catholicism. Many of the tensions right now in the Roman Catholic world are between the growing churches of Africa and the dying churches of Europe. How many tensions in Roman Catholicism boil down to Kenya, Nigeria versus Germany and France? It's the same story. And the trend of the future of Christianity being in the global South, that's something that Philip Jenkins put on the cover of Atlantic Monthly, coming up on 20 years ago in that famous cover story called The Next Christendom. And then he did a book on the same topic. That's the same story. This week we're looking at the European half of that equation. But once again, how many conflicts in religion, in Christianity right now, boil down to the growing churches of the global South in terms of convert rates and birth rates and the frozen churches of the North? I remember something that happened, I'm trying to think. It's coming up on 20 years ago. There was a huge conflict within Anglicanism, and I was talking to a bishop who went to the global meetings of the Anglican bishops from all over the world. And they were in a Bible study, and the people from Europe and America kept talking about needing to be more sensitive on issues of gay rights and needing to be sensitive on issues of the environment and the ordination of women, and they went on with a bunch of kind of first world issues. And at some point during the middle of this, one of the African bishops raised his hand and interrupted what was going on and said, "I just want to know one thing. Where are your converts?" And there was this long, very awkward pause. Where are your converts to Christianity? Where is your new faith? Where is your next generation? The Americans did not have much of an answer for that.
I'm wondering about, I think it was just 10 years ago, we started talking about, we weren't talking about nuns, we were talking about spiritual but not religious, kind of a halfway house between, what did you call it, aggressive secularism at one point? Whether these people who have formerly identified as, yes, I'm deeply spiritual, but I'm not religious. That is, I don't do
anything. Yeah, that was kind of the new age thing of the early 90s and the mid 90s, yeah.
Are these the same people? Is there any way of knowing if these are the same people who are now self-identifying as none of the above and not even really spiritual either?
Well, I don't know how many of them are literally the same people with the same DNA strands, but if you were spiritual but not religious, and you were coming out of college and starting your life in the Shirley MacLaine era of 1990, 1994. How old are you now? If you were 25 in 95, you're now what, 45? 48? So maybe, literally, the children of the Oprah Winfrey generation, the spiritual but not religious generation, maybe it's the children of those people are now the college students who are between 18 and 22, or in the case of this survey, 16 to 29. Maybe the nuns, the religiously unaffiliated, are the children of the spiritual but not religious. Or they're the children of cafeteria Catholics. Or they're the children of, oh, we bake these cookies at Christmas every year because that's what Lutherans do, crowd. Does that make sense?
What stories do you think, if we want to reverse what you were saying, and that the, I think you said at the very beginning, the American press doesn't care much about what happens in the rest of the world. If we wanted to get their attention, what kind of snappy stories do you think can be written already from what we're seeing in the European survey?
Well, you know, one thing you could do is try to find out where Catholic priests are coming from. I mean, if you're in Italy and there's a church like on every block, are you one generation from half of those churches being empty? Or there being nobody at the altar? Or even some of them turning into bed and breakfasts or art galleries or maybe even mosques? So I would go down to very specific questions. If I was in Germany, I would look for growing Lutheran churches. I would look for places where Lutherans have more than one or two children. I would look for Lutheran classical schools and other forms of creative minority culture. And I would look to see if that's what survives. I don't know how you write a story as much about the nuns other than you tend to write about them as a political force, right? I mean, you don't write stories about them sitting around in the American equivalent, sitting around in Brooklyn on Sunday morning reading the New York Times. I mean, it's hard to write a story about that. I guess you cover where the life is, or in the case of the priest shortage or the clergy shortage, you cover the rare exceptions. You cover the places that are producing priests. Or if right now in Germany or in France, let's say France, what percentage of Catholic priests in France are now coming in from outside of France? Just like in many parishes in America now, you have one or more priests who are from Africa. We could be entering an age where the new story is reverse missionary trends. Whereas once Europe and America sent missionaries to Africa, is the new story Africa and Asia sending missionaries to America? But the main thing I would say is at some point, our journalists are going to have to admit that this demographics is destiny story exists, and it's beginning to be seen in all kinds of pulpits, in all kinds of pews, and at altars. I'm continuing to be amazed at the number of stories I read about the declining number of Catholic priests in America, and there won't be a single paragraph about birth rates or the size of Catholic families or the impact that that might be having on the priesthood. Isn't that a rather amazing blind spot?
One last question for you, kind of purely journalism related, which is based upon, as I said, what you said before at the beginning. Why is it the American press largely doesn't seem to care much about what's happening in the rest of the world? What's your journalist
perspective? Oh, because Americans don't. I mean, we've learned that at Get Religion throughout our 14 years. If you want to write a post that even conservative religious Americans will care about. You write about culture war issues here in America. You write about abortion. You write about things that Americans care about. If you want to write a story that gets no response at all, hardly anybody clicks on it, hardly anybody forwards it, you write about something happening on the other side of the world. Even a major story on the other side of the world about stuff that's happening to Christians or other religious believers. We're now several generations into this. Americans don't care much about what happens to people in the other parts of the world. We didn't even care that much when Christians were being slaughtered in the Middle East. Monasteries being bombed. You know, I mean, and Christians, for the most part, didn't really care about that much. What that says about us, I don't know, but it doesn't say anything good.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll be talking with Chris Roseboro about bad Easter sermons. I'm sure he has some excellent examples. We'll visit with Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Perhaps no woman in Scripture has been more misinterpreted in some ways than the Proverbs 31 woman as merely an example of what every woman should be. Now, she is example. There's no doubt about that. But there's more to the Proverbs 31 woman. You could find out by reading the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. EmmanuelPress.us.